is the 3rd of March 2020. Our meeting is starting now, 9:30. I'm requesting that we switch off this one. It is making noise. It's unbearable for the chair. The agenda of this meeting is as circulated. I hope everyone has it. We will, however, have a few adjustments to the agenda. Item number one will remain item number one. Item number two will remain item number two. Item number three will remain the way it is. Then item number four will be the briefing by the Electoral Commission on the budget 2020 and the first quarter of the financial year briefing. Item number five would be briefing by the Department of Home Affairs. And then it will be comments, questions, and then answers. And then, before that item, there will be briefing by government printing works. And then all other items will stay the way they are. So the adjustment is that we are bringing in the Electoral Commission to present earlier. It is in view of the fact that they have a commitment elsewhere. Later in the day, they will need to go in and prepare. The meeting is officially opened. You are all welcome. You are also welcome, the Deputy Minister. We are meeting today on the 3rd amid what we see on the national TV around the issues of refugees. I think that matter is a matter that affects this specific portfolio committee. It's a matter that falls within our ambit. We have seen on the national TV there is some confrontation between the refugees, what they are refusing to do and what they are not refusing to do, what they are doing against the law enforcement and the agents. You will note that as a committee were welcome and noted when the Western Cape High Court issued a decision that the refugees must leave the church, they must go and stay where they were expected to go and stay in terms of the law. But we're seeing a violent attack from the refugees towards the law enforcement agents. And as a committee, I think we will need to take a pause with those developments, because as a country, we have signed international agreements, we have the Constitution of the Republic, we have other legal instruments that we're using in ensuring that everyone who's in the country is here, is safe, and is here within the parameters of the law. So I'm generally of the view that the situation has reached such a stage that maybe as the committee we need to do something about it, because we can't leave the situation the way it is. Situation is getting untenable. I can't imagine myself going to another country and fighting with the law enforcement agencies of that particular country. There must be something amiss or something that is happening that the committee does not know about. But I was just thinking aloud, members, that maybe we may have to take an oversight to where these activities are happening, just to check exactly what is transpiring really on the ground, because the situation seems to be getting a bit out of hand. From the chair's position, I'm of that view, but maybe at the end of this meeting, I will want your comment whether or not we must just take an oversight and go and see, and also meet with these violent refugees, just to check what may be the issues, what may be exactly happening. But we can't leave the situation as it is, because we're an overall overseer of the international agreements that we've signed as the country, and we're also, as Parliament, the protector of the Constitution of the Republic and other laws that the Republic has passed. We need to make sure that they are executed to the latter. Whether you are a South African or we are a non-South African, we need to make sure that you abide by the laws of South Africa. So I think it's a matter that maybe WIPO request that you converse silence with other members of the committee. Let's see what we do about it. You know, we're a committee of parliament, so it's a multi-party committee, so we may get to hear what other views from other committees, but we can't leave the situation as it is at this point. Yeah, thank you. We can go to... Is your hand up? Okay, you're recognized.
No, thanks, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I think we'll do that, Chair. I just wanted to make submission to the department when they give the report, perhaps briefly, to highlight on the post-court judgment, so that when the committee reflect on how they're going to conduct their oversight specific issues, we're able to get placed on those issues. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And before we go to item number two, we have noted that that Honorable Kanyile lost the father, and the father was buried last Saturday. We want to send our condolences once more. But as a committee, we did send a delegation in a form of Honorable Musa Chabane, who went to represent the committee at that bereaved family. We would like to thank you, Honorable Musa, for making it, and condolences, Honorable Kanyile, once more. We can go to item number two. Apologies.
Good morning. I've got two apologies. One is from Ms. Van der Merwe, then the other one from Mr. Muyelo. And then also there's an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister of Finance. Those are the only two apologies I received.
Thank you. Any other apology?
Chairperson, I would like to apologize for our DG, not being present in our DG, due to post-budget commitments and not able to join the meeting.
Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you. I thought I should indicate that the Minister will probably join us late. He's still in the Cabinet Committee, and we have an item that has been presented.
Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. I just have an apology from Joe Madua.
On an account of what?
Sorry, Chair. You didn't indicate.
Just a blank apology. Okay. Those are the apologies. Do we accept the apologies? Apologies accepted. I'm sure that we will not take a round of introduction this time because members are people who are before us, majority of them are not coming for the first time. But I will appeal to those who are coming for the first time to start by introducing themselves specifically. So now I'm giving this chance to National Treasurer to give us the presentation, our first presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm presenting on the budget of Department of Home Affairs and the Electoral Commission. I did not include the government printing works in the presentation because it was not included in our invitation. But we do include government printing works in the budget process just to make sure that they are adequately funded to continue with their operations. I'm moving to slide 2. I've structured my budget in 3 parts. Firstly, as an introduction, I want to talk a little bit about the fiscal framework and how it impacts on the budget recommendations and allocations. Then the second part is I'm focusing on the budget process in the National Treasury and also the parliamentary process. And then the last part is the request of the committee where they wanted us to present on the budget allocations, increase and decreases in the 2020-21 financial year. I'm moving to slide 3. Slide 3 is basically just giving a historical background of the fiscal framework and how it developed from 2008. The global financial crisis started in 2008, and at that time it did not have immediate and negative effect on government finances. From 2014, the effect of the global crisis started to negatively impact on the macroeconomic and the fiscal environment. And then this led to poor economic growth, high interest rates, and higher level of inflation, which puts a strain on the fiscal position of government. It also impacted on the growth rate of the economy. Slide 4. Moving to 2020, the budget proposed a total consolidated spending in 2020 of 1.95 trillion. Currently, the economic outlook is weak. Real GDP is expected to grow at 0.9%, and that was the growth rate was lowered to 0.9% in 2020, 1.3% in 2021. And 1.6 in 2022, and this has an impact on the revenue side of the budget. So that has also been revised. It's led to 63.3 billion downward revision in revenue in the 2019 budget, and the projection has further lowered in 2020. So the budget process as a first step in the 2020 budget implemented reductions in the non-interest spending of 156.1 billion over the 3 years compared to last year's projection. And that you will see once we talk about the allocation for Home Affairs and also for IEC going forward. I'm just showing the two graphs. On the left-hand side, you can see the widening gap between expenditure and revenue. And that's the current situation that we are facing in the budget. So the gray line shows you the revenue, and the red line shows the expenditure side. And the gap is widening from 2014 going forward to 2023. And in the graph on the right-hand side, so the percentage of interest payments and primary deficit as a percentage of GDP, and you can also see that that percentage is growing in terms of the interest payments is growing and also the primary deficit is growing, and we're trying to contain that. So in terms of the budget process, just quickly for Chairperson, Honourable Members, we at National Treasury ran a very robust budget process. It actually starts from the time that the main budget is tabled by the Minister of Finance, and we start off by bilaterals with departments and public entities where we focus on funding pressures. We talk about new policy initiatives and possible savings and the reprioritization of budgets. That is not one single meeting. The issues are very big in departments, so we do have quite a few follow-up meetings after our first bilateral. Then once we have the bilateral sorted out and we've discussed all of those issues, we move into a technical group meeting where we cluster departments and they discuss their priorities of the group of departments and how funds can be reprioritized across departments. So we're trying to stabilize expenditure, so most of the allocations happen through reprioritization and to see where we can generate some savings. Follow the technical group meetings, we have MTEC meetings, and we have quite a few MTEC meetings. So in the MTEC meetings, we have discussions across sectors. So we have six sectors, we come together and we discuss, and then we sort of table the recommendation that was made by the technical group to the MTEC meetings. And then the MTEC meetings make recommendations to the minister committees on the budget, which makes recommendations to cabinet for approval to be presented in parliament. Moving to slide 7, this slide explains the parliamentary process in terms of approving the budget. We have the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Amendment Act of 2018. It requires that committees table a report to National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces on the fiscal framework and revenue proposals. And that is done within specific time span. Then there is a division of revenue bill that need to be passed within the specific time span, and that happens after the fiscal framework by Parliament has been adopted. Then Parliament passed the appropriation bill, and that must happen before 31st July 2020. In short, Parliament votes for the fiscal framework, division of revenue bill, and also the Appropriation Act. And we issue final allocation letters once Parliament has approved all the proposed allocations. Honourable Members, this slide shows the proposed budget estimates for Home Affairs and also for the Electoral Commission. And this is the total budget estimate. And this is before it's the approval of Parliament. So we have about 9 billion in 2020-21 for Home Affairs and about 2 billion for Electoral Commission. And those amounts are all in the appropriation bill that need to be approved by Parliament. And then you can see there's a slight rise in the allocation in the outer years of the MTF period. In the previous slide, I talked about the functional group meetings, and when the functional group meetings sit in the budget process, they determine the top priorities of the group of departments. And when we sat in 2000 and for the 2020 MTF process, this is what they've formulated as the top priority for the function: corruption and fraud, border security and immigration, trafficking of persons, proliferations of firearms, and that is all only relating to Home Affairs. So when we looked at the submission of Home Affairs to MTEC, this is the priorities that were set by Home Affairs. They wanted us to look at the Border Management Authority to be established, the repositioning of the department as a modern and secure department, and that has certain financial implications. They've also presented the information technology modernization program. So currently there is a baseline which they've indicated is not sufficient in terms of maintenance and refreshing of technology. There was also submission on the passenger name record system as part of the building a world-class immigration system, and also as a component of the e-border project. Then they also presented a further rollout of the ID card cards. Currently, 25 million smart cards sold have been rolled out. There's about 13 million they've indicated that already rolled out. And also, they put focus on the PPP project with the banking sector to assist with the rolling out of the smart cards. And also, the Triple P project with the private sector in terms of the modernization of the ports of entry. So that is the priority that the department set for MTEC. So this slide just focusing on what was recommended that still need to be approved by Parliament. There's a very moderate increase in the baseline, average growth of 3.2%, Electoral Commission average of 6.9%. The growth rate is also dependent on what's happening in terms of the local election, and money was added for the local election, which actually just bump up the average growth rate of the baseline. So this is the amount that was allocated in the budget process, and this is the request from the committee. There was the amount allocated for compensation of employees, which was reprioritized within the functional group. 606 million was allocated for the passenger name record system, and that's in line with the priority set by the department for MTEC. The specific projects that is linked to the iBorder project, and this is one that they wanted funded, and funding was reprioritized within the functional group to fund that particular project. 255 million was allocated to the Electoral Commission for the procurement of the voter registration devices. So the Electoral Commission have also in the meantime got savings, which also going to contribute towards the voter registration devices. But we believe that they will have enough funding, I think, to procure the voter registration devices. And then this baseline reduction, as I said in my introduction slide, as a response to the fiscal framework, there were certain reductions done, and the reduction was done in on the goods and services of Home Affairs, and it was approved by Parliament. And then there was a small reduction in machinery and equipment of Home Affairs. We also reduced the transfers to entities, and there was a reduction done of 76.7 to the Electoral Commission, and then a smaller reduction to the representative political parties and funds. Honourable Chairperson, my other slide is just for information purposes. I wanted also to show the reductions and the additions in the previous years. I want to focus maybe on slide 14, where money was allocated to the Electoral Commission for the 2019 National General Elections. Money was allocated to Home Affairs for the advanced passenger processing system, and also small amounts was allocated to Home Affairs for additional capacity at OR Tambo International Airport. So due to the limited funds that's available, we try to fund the most critical projects in Home Affairs and the Electoral Commission. And we think that in terms of immigration is critical. That's why we always try to fund those projects. And the elections, whether it's the national elections or local elections, we also try to fully fund the elections. Then there was an allocation in 2018 to the Electoral Commission for the preparation of the 2019 general elections. And as you can see, in terms of the money we spend on the election, it sort of grow each 5 years. So there's a growing tendency in terms of funding of the national elections. So 2019, we also did allocation to the establishment of the Border Management Authority. That was over 3 years. We funded the Electoral Commission for the preparation of the 2021 local elections. There was money for the implementation, $50 million for the implementation of the political party's funding bill, which is also under the Electoral Commission. And also there was then a small deduction from the Electoral Commission for the implementation of the wage freeze for senior management. Slide 17 shows us the budget, the policy priorities that could not be funded in the 2020 MTEC budget process that we think is critical. So the one project is the piloting of the e-voting. It was not funded, and we think it's important, so we need to consider it in the 2021 MTEC process. At the time, during MTEC, the Commission was not sure if they want to run the e-voting pilot during the municipal elections or as part of the by-election. So we will look at that project in the 2021 MTEC process. We also encourage departments to look at more innovative ways to fund your larger projects that the fiscus cannot fund. So currently, Home Affairs is busy with a private-public partnership with the private sector to redevelop and modernize 6 ports of entry. The cost will be $6 to $7 billion over a 23-year period. So they're also busy with that process currently. In conclusion, Honorable Chairperson, we acknowledge the fact that the budget reductions have negatively impact on the operation of both the department and the commission. However, both institutions were requested to implement these reductions in such a way that there is minimal impact on service delivery. And then I also talked about the Triple P project to develop the land ports of entry. And then the other Triple P project is also with the banks to assist with the rolling out of the smart card. Our genuine concern, Chairperson, at this stage is that the capacity constraints in the Department of Home Affairs, what the Department of Home Affairs is experiencing due to not filling critical positions, could impact on service delivery. And this is something we're going to look at in the new budget cycle, because we believe that we will be able to see whether there is scope in terms of the total spending of the department on COE to look at that concern that we have in Home Affairs. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can we take the next presentation? The next presentation is from the IEC. Okay, whilst they are preparing, we will have to present from here. Maybe while they are presenting, we can take a 5 minutes break, because the I can see the tea is already there. While they are setting up, 5 minutes.